once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Ford Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Good evening, everybody, on this sunny and rainy Wednesday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we had both.
It was a cool little shower that we just got. Made a hell of a rainbow.
Double rainbow, actually.
Oh, I missed all of that.
Yeah.
So, we welcome in studio, certainly not a stranger, Miss Erin Miner, the Mercer County prosecuting attorney, correct?
That is correct, yes.
I'll call you the chair lady of the 100th birthday of our courthouse.
Yep, that's right. So we sort of refer to ourselves as the 100th anniversary courthouse committee, for obvious reasons, because the Mercer County Courthouse is turning 100 years old this year. And so we've got a group of about 12 people that have been working for the last 2 years to plan different events to commemorate this big milestone for the courthouse.
So, you know, we spoke, I think it may have been in June, maybe the last time that you were here, and you talked about the various, I think there were some art contests, and you know, there were some other contests, but it's all kind of culminating in this coming week, correct?
That's right. So the planning for all of this has been going on for the last 2 years, and we actually started with our first event last September, and basically we called it a soft kickoff celebration. The 3rd District Court of Appeals came down to Mercer County to hear oral arguments in a couple of cases that were pending in that court, and so we had like a breakfast, and we welcomed the 3rd District judges, and then they proceeded to hear oral arguments in the Mercer County Courthouse. And just for a little bit of background, hopefully your listeners enjoy getting a little bit of education about our criminal justice system. So, because some folks may think, well, what the heck is the 3rd District Court of Appeals? So, in the state of Ohio, we have trial courts. Generally speaking, that would be like your Mercer County Common Pleas Court, your Dark County Common Pleas Court, etc. So that's the first stop. Now, if you're unhappy with whatever happens at the trial court level, in a criminal case, you have an appeal as of right, which means you are guaranteed an appeal. So if you go to trial in the Mercer County Common Pleas Court and you're found guilty and you want to contest that, then you automatically have the right to appeal to the 3rd District Court of Appeals. They are an intermediate appellate court. We so happen to fall in the 3rd District. Mercer County does. Dark County, by contrast, is in the 2nd District. And so there are multiple districts around the state. And if you are unhappy with the 3rd District's decision, then you can appeal that. You can try to appeal to the Ohio Supreme Court. Now, the Ohio Supreme Court is considered a discretionary court, so they don't have to hear your appeal. And most appeals that go to the Ohio Supreme Court, they reject. It's only a small fraction of cases that they actually decide to take up and render a decision on. So, in any event, the 3rd District came down last September. And then earlier this year, in March, we had an essay contest for Mercer County 8th graders. And we were real pleased that we got a good number of submissions from all of our local schools, with the exception of Salina. We're not sure why that no one submitted an essay from Salina, but we had some really good essays. We gave 3 different prompts to the kids, and it was basically we had about an even number of essays submitted for each prompt. And then we picked the top 3 winners. They took home cash prizes. So that was back in March. We had an Easter egg hunt. We partnered with Wabash. Wabash has been doing an Easter egg hunt at the courthouse for a number of years. So we did that. And then one of the big events that we had was an art contest. And one of the things I learned as part of that art contest is how many local artists we have. I have absolutely zero artistic talent, so I'm not plugged into that kind of segment of the population, so to speak. And we had 20 submissions in the art contest. And the idea, of course, was something courthouse related, right? Yep. And then we had our local judges, Judge Fox, Judge Spielman, and Judge Gilmore, as well as Chief Deputy Doug Timmerman. They judged the art contest, picked the top three. Second and third place went home with cash prizes. And the first place winner, her piece is going to be hung in the courthouse in perpetuity. So it was kind of an honor to be a first place finisher.
That's cool.
And the gal that submitted the winning piece is Eva Yarger, who's the Van Wert County prosecutor, which was kind of neat. Apparently she has hobbies. I don't. So
soccer coach?
Yes, right. That's true. Yes. And we'll talk more about that later, I'm sure. So that was just a really neat event. And we actually have all of those pieces are hung right now in the auditorium of the courthouse for people to take a look at. They're going to be hung there through the end of this weekend. And then we also had a Women in Law event back in May. And we had about 60 people showed up for that. We had women in law enforcement. We had probation officers. We had judges. We had attorneys. We also had some students, high school students that came out. And it was just a really nice event. And the interesting thing is that in Mercer County, we now have more female attorneys than we do male attorneys.
That's which, amazing.
Which is a complete shift from how it was a decade or two ago. And I guess in that same vein, I heard on the radio this morning that the number of females significantly outnumber the males in law schools right now. So
why do you think that is?
You know, I don't know.
Men don't want to work that hard?
I wouldn't say that. It's a very interesting question, and I'm not sure why we're seeing that trend, but the same is true in college.
Yeah.
That women outnumber men, you know, in college these days. And I guess it's exciting for females that we are at that point where we have such a large number of females that are going on to college and even higher education beyond that. It's a little bit, it's a little disappointing also, though, that males aren't going in the numbers that we've seen in the past. And I'm not sure why that is.
But do you think, as our economy has changed to some extent, and you know, if you look at the last 10 years, the need for craftsmen, mm-hmm. you know, has grown, and I mm-hmm. think more men have seen an avenue to get more directly in the workforce without that investment.
Yeah, perhaps. I hope that's the reason why. I have some colleagues who have kids that are juniors, seniors, you know, getting ready to make that decision about what do I want to do with the rest of my life? Do I want to go to college? Do I want to go to trade school? Do I want to enter the workforce? And the cost of a college education this day and age is just outrageous. I think Notre Dame is around $80,000 a year. Now you can get scholarships and you get grants and things like that, but you know, it's just gotten to the point for a lot of folks where it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And rather than come out with hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, they say, you know, I'm going to go to trade school because my employer, first of all, is going to pay for that. Or I'm going to enter the workforce. I got an opportunity to have a really good job. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think that's great. And everybody knows my husband, Matt, who works at the hardware store. And, you know, he works with a lot of tradesmen each and every day. And these guys are smart. They are absolutely necessary. And they're in need. So perhaps that may be why we're seeing the reduced numbers of males. I hope it's that and not something to do with it's harder to get in for males or something like that, because we are worried about diversity and things of that nature, because I don't think that would be a, that's not a good message then that we're sending to our males.
Well, and you know, at some point, the pendulum's going to swing, and where we're short on the craftsmen now, as this goes on, we'll be looking for male doctors or attorneys or that types of things. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the courthouse anniversary and other things prosecuting related. So we'll be back right after this.
This is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who's dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent Simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
There's an event coming up you don't want to miss. The Cancer Association of Mercer County is sponsoring a bowling tournament, and it will be a four-person team, eight-pin, no tap. It will be held at Miracle Lanes on Saturday, September 16th, with sessions at 2, 4, and 6. The cost is $100 per four-person team and includes two games and eight beer tickets per team. There will also be a 50-50 drawing and several raffle items for you to win. Get your team together and sign up now at Miracle Lanes or by calling Tom Ramachlis at 419-852-2987. That's the 8-pin no-tap bowling tournament happening on Saturday, September 16th at Miracle Lanes, benefiting the Cancer Association of Mercer County. Where there is help, there is hope.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, and we're talking to Aaron Miner, the Mercer County prosecuting attorney and chairman of the Mercer County Courthouse 100th Birthday Committee. And we were just talking about some of the activities leading up to this coming weekend. So let's let's talk about Sunday, because I think Sundays are there activities on Friday or Saturday, or is this?
There are, yeah. So we're in the midst right now of what we're calling our week-long celebration. We had something called a plein air painting event at the courthouse on Saturday morning. On Monday, we had a 9/11 first responders walk that started and ended at the courthouse, and we walked out to the lake. On Tuesday, we had a blood drive. This morning we had coffee with elected officials where you could come in and grab a cup of coffee, grab a pastry, ask any questions that you had of your elected officials. Tomorrow we have story time at the library in Salina where they're going to be doing some courthouse-related activities with the kids. And then on Friday, we're having, I think, a pretty neat event. From 11 to 1, we're having lunch on the courthouse lawn. So we have five food vendors that are going to be there with their food trucks, and including Wendell's Barbecue. I know, a local local vendor, yep. and four others. And then we're going to just be, we got a DJ who's going to be playing. And so folks can come and get a bite to eat. And we're going to be providing cookies from the St. Henry Bake Shop free of charge. And so it looks like weather's going to be nice.
It does.
So it'll be a good opportunity to come out and get some lunch. And we'll have a big tent set up with tables. And so
perfect day for a picnic yes. to a certain extent.
Yeah. And then on Sunday, we have a series of events going on between 1 and 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And so we're going to have a couple of the local judges are going to be giving some remarks, and we're going to have courthouse tours. Also, the KFC is going to be doing a flags presentation where they're going to be talking to us about every flag that's ever been flown in the United States. So that's about a 45-minute presentation. I've never seen it before, but folks who have said it's really neat. And they have each one of these flags, so they'll be bringing those out for the presentation. We're going to be opening a time capsule that was buried 25 years ago during the 75th celebration, and just kind of talking about some of the things that were put in there. And there was a second grade class from Salina. Those students contributed items to the time capsule, and we have some of those folks coming back. So they're going to talk about why they put in the time capsule what they did.
So they'll now be 33 years old or so. And
yeah, my quarter high school math doesn't operate that quickly, yeah. Jack, but I'll agree with you on that one. And then we're going to have a presentation for a time capsule that we've collected items, and it's going to be buried and reopened in 100 years. So we have a number of different items that we've collected, and we're going to be sharing those items with attendees. One of the things that's going in that time capsule, which I think is pretty neat, is all of the elected officials in Mercer County hand wrote a letter to whoever is going to be in their position in 100 years. So I wrote cursive. I had to dig deep to remember my cursive. But basically, you know, just talking about what the position is like now and what our day-to-day is like, and giving that person some advice. And so I thought it was just kind of a neat idea.
So how'd you get through it without writing LOL or having some sort of an emoji in there? I mean, yeah. It's hard.
You know what I realized is as I was writing this letter, that when you are handwriting something, you actually have to have the entire sentence formed in your head before you write it out. You know, because everything I do these days, and I'm sure most people, is you type it out.
Yeah.
And so you screw up, you hit delete, and you start over. But you actually have to have a little more forethought when you are handwriting a letter. So that's one of the things we're going to be doing. The first judge of Common Pleas Court was a guy named Judge Miller. And we have a gentleman, Vernon Bergman's going to be doing a Judge Miller reenactment. And then we have, probably the thing I'm most excited about, is we have a variety of kids' activities that are going to be going on from 1:30 to 4:30. Or, I'm sorry, 3:30 on Sunday afternoon. So we are having face painting, balloon animals. We're having a touch a truck event. So we have law enforcement from every agency in Mercer County, with the exception of Salina. But we also have OSP, the Ohio State Patrol, coming. And they're going to be bringing their vehicles. We're going to have canine handlers. We're going to have a fire truck from Salina Fire, an ambulance from Salina Fire as well, and some trucks from the engineer's office, so kids can climb in them. You know, they can talk to the law enforcement officers. They can pet their dogs, which I think is just kind of a neat activity for kids. We got Kona Ice slushies that will be free of charge. We're going to have some bingo, pumpkin painting. And also, kids will have an opportunity to go into Judge Fox's courtroom, which is on the third floor of the courthouse. put on a robe, hold a gavel, and just get an opportunity to take a picture in his seat on the bench, which I think is pretty
neat. That is really cool.
Yeah.
And there's a pretty good chance one of them might end up there.
You never know.
At least I would hope it's on that side of the...
Right, and not on the other side. Yes. So a lot of fun things for the kids to do. And everything's free of charge. We're also going to have a bunch of cupcakes and beverages for folks.
Are you making the cupcakes?
No, I am not.
Oh, well,
perhaps at one point in my life I would have done that, but I subscribe to buying everything now. the St. Henry Bake Shop, though, is going to be providing cupcakes.
It's more than buying, it's supporting a local business.
That's true, yes. And so they're going to be making some vanilla chocolate and spice cupcakes for us. I think we got about 300 or so coming, so we'll have enough for everybody.
Fantastic. So it sounds like a fun-filled Sunday.
Yeah, it's just, and you know, it's all free, and the weather's supposed to be really nice, and so it should just be a good time for folks of all ages. Grandparents bring their grandkids, parents bring their kids. There's going to be music, and it's just going to be a lot of fun.
How cool. So talking about courthouse stuff, okay, has there ever been a famous person that has, for whatever reason, found his way into our Mercer County courthouse?
Whew.
Yeah, so has Elvis ever gotten a speeding ticket and gotten picked up? Or
boy, that's a good question. Not to my knowledge. Maybe a long time ago.
Yeah.
But
no John Dillinger?
No.
I think he got, the word is he was a St. Mary's or Auglaize County or something.
Okay, that could be, but no. Unfortunately, I just see a lot of the same people, but nobody famous, maybe one day during my tenure.
Well, I'm sure Rocker and his indecency charges will eventually be shown up.
He'll eventually make his way to me.
Sorry, Rocker. So let's morph into the prosecuting attorney job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, obviously,
first of all, you've been doing this for how long?
I've been with the prosecutor's office for almost 5 years. I was appointed to be the Mercer County prosecutor back in November of last year when my former boss, Matt Fox, ran to be the judge of the Mercer County Common Police Court, and he won. So he decided to resign, and then I was appointed by the Central Committee of the Mercer County Republican Party. That's just kind of how it works under Ohio law. I didn't really know anything about that until I found myself in that position. But so I was appointed by them and to fill out the remainder of Matt Fox's two-year term. So I will have to go on the ballot for the primary coming up next March.
Mm-hmm. So has it been what you thought it would be?
Yeah, I think pretty much. I think it's pretty much been what I expected. Like I said, I've been with the prosecutor's office now for about 5 years. And when I was assistant prosecutor, I helped then Prosecutor Fox manage the felony docket. When he got into the judge's race, he took a step back from a lot of his day-to-day responsibilities. He was busy with other things. And so I stepped up and started doing more of the managerial type task. And he also did that because he was trying to reduce the number of cases that he would be conflicted out of. So, for example, someone that we indicted or we brought charges against when he was a a prosecutor, if he signed that indictment, he can't then preside over that case. That just a huge conflict.
Yeah, which would make sense.
So
don't want that.
Right. So in an effort to reduce the number of inevitable conflict cases that would be coming down the road, he took a step back from some of his tasks. And so I stepped up and started doing things in addition to my assistant prosecutor responsibilities. And so I guess I didn't feel like there was a whole lot of difference when I was appointed because I had already been doing a lot of those things. Yeah. But just to give you sort of an idea of what we do at the prosecutor's office. So our county is set up a little bit differently than, let's say, Auglaize County, for example. Our office, generally speaking, only prosecutes felony offenses. Now, we will prosecute misdemeanors if they arise out of the same set of facts that give rise to one or more felonies, because there's no reason to send some misdemeanors over to municipal court and we only keep the felonies. It's just not a very good use of judicial resources, so sure, we'll take everything. But let's say you've got a driving under suspension, or maybe you have an OVI. That's not going to be handled in Mercer County Common Police Court. That's going to be over in Salina Municipal Court, and you'll be in front of Judge Spielman. And then the Salina City Law Director, George Moore, will prosecute that case. Now, in Auglaize County, however, their prosecutor's office handles all charges, just a little bit different setup.
Yeah.
So, of course, we prosecute felonies in our office, and then we have an assistant prosecutor who handles all the civil matters for the county. So the county, you can think of it as being sort of like a big business. We have a lot of different agencies, and so there are a lot of civil needs as well, whether it's human resource issues, whether it's reviewing a contract, whether it's a question that the commissioners have concerning public records law. There's all different kinds of civil issues that come up. And then we also represent, or we serve as legal advisor to all of the townships in Mercer County. So the townships, don't have their own attorneys, unlike the various municipalities here in the county. Like the Village of Fort Recovery, for example, has Erin Abels from Kester's Law. She helps them out with their legal needs. The townships don't have that. So we serve as their legal advisor. And then, of course, we also prosecute all juvenile offenses. So if you're 13 and you do something stupid and you commit a crime, our office will be responsible for prosecuting that that offense. We also serve as legal advisor to the Mercer County Job and Family Services Agency. And so we have a lot of hats that we wear in our office.
So when you talk about the differences between the felonies and the misdemeanors,
mm-hmm.
So there are times when I'll read the paper, there's a drug bust, and four people get arrested, and two of them will get charged with a class four misdemeanor or something, and there'll be two that might get a class one felony.
Mm-hmm.
What would determine which is which?
That's a good question. So I'm going to take a step back from that a little bit. So yes, we have felonies and we have misdemeanors. Felonies are more serious offenses. Misdemeanors are less serious offenses. And in the state of Ohio, the most serious offense, generally speaking, is a felony of the first degree. And it goes down to a felony of the fifth degree. And then less serious than a felony of the fifth degree is a misdemeanor of the first degree, and then it goes down in seriousness, for lack of better terminology, all the way down to a minor misdemeanor. So it goes M1, M2, M3, M4, minor misdemeanor. Now, we also have something called unclassified felonies in the state of Ohio, which would be like murder, aggravated murder. They're like F0. Okay, it's like super serious. That's how it works in the state of Ohio. And going back to your example of a drug bust, why would some people end up with felonies and some people end up with misdemeanors? Well, let's say two of those individuals were found in possession of methamphetamine, automatically a felony. And the more meth you have, the more serious of a felony it becomes. But maybe two of the individuals were just found with syringes on them. A common method of ingestion for legal narcotics is to inject it, and a syringe, generally speaking, is a misdemeanor of the second degree. So it just depends on you know, the facts and circumstances as to whether somebody's going to be charged with a felony or a misdemeanor.
Very good. And then, okay, and then, I tell you what, let's take a break, and we'll come back and get a little bit more in depth with the happenings at the courthouse regarding the prosecutor's office right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery has openings in their parts department. If you're friendly and professional with a working knowledge of farm equipment, consider joining the Hull Brothers team. Applicants need to have solid computer skills, a good ability to communicate, and the desire to learn. Full-time employees enjoy great pay and benefits. Since 1896, Hull Brothers has served area farmers. Consider joining the parts department at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery. Stop in soon or give Hull Brothers a call today.
If you're looking for great food at great prices, just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274. They have sandwiches, fried goodies, subs, salads, wraps, and of course their famous pizza and wings. Everybody can get what they want. Just call them and drive through and pick it up. And be sure to stop in on Fridays at lunch for their famous pizza and wing buffet. Make Miracle Lanes your number one spot for great food. Be sure to put their number in your phone and just call them whenever you're hungry. 419-375-4274. The Museum of the Soldier will be presenting a very important exhibit at the Jay County Fairgrounds September 15th through 17th, and you won't want to miss it. The Mobile 9/11 Never Forget exhibit has been traveling the country, and it's going to be here in our area on Friday, September 15th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, September 16th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and Sunday, September 17th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tours will be conducted by actual New York Fire Department firefighters who were eyewitnesses to history on September 11th, 2001, and will give firsthand accounts of what happened. This will probably be your only chance ever to see an exhibit like this with actual New York City firefighters conducting the tours of the exhibit. Clear your schedule the weekend of September 15th through 17th and get over to the Jay County Fairgrounds for the 9/11 Never Forget exhibit presented by the Museum of the Soldier in Portland.
Two, one. We're back. Right on schedule?
A little short. A little late on that one, Jack.
Sorry about that. So we're back talking to Aaron Miner from the Mercer County Prosecutor's Office about all things prosecuting, I guess. And so we were talking about the difference between the felonies and the misdemeanors. So are those ever plea bargain before they get to a certain point?
That's a very good question. And to be able to answer it, I'm going to have to be a little long-winded, so bear with me. I'll talk from the felony perspective, okay? So if there is an investigation ongoing, sometimes, but no charges have been filed yet, sometimes our office will be contacted by that suspect's attorney. The suspect has already obtained legal counsel, and basically they know the writing's on the wall and that charges are going to be coming down the pike. And so that legal counsel or defense attorney will reach out to us and say, look, we know what's going to happen here. Can we work something out? You know, can we come to an agreement on what he or she is going to plead to and perhaps even have some sort of a agreed recommended sentence for the judge? So that does happen. And then instead of taking the case to grand jury, because all felonies in the state of Ohio have to get past, so to speak, a grand jury before a felony prosecution can commence, we'll file something called a bill of information that lays out the charges. And basically what that is that the defendant just agrees to bypass the grand jury and just get things started because he or she knows what's coming down the pike. And then the plea and the sentencing, all of that may happen on one day. So that does happen. It's fairly rare, but it is possible.
You hear a lot about, especially in the big city settings, about how backed up the court system is. Mm-hmm. Is the same thing true in Mercer County?
It is not, and I'm very proud of that fact. So a lot of places, when COVID hit back in 2020, the courts essentially shut down. Okay, so it wasn't like crimes were not being committed. Crimes were being committed. Law enforcement was investigating those crimes. They would drop off a report to their local prosecutor's office, but nothing was being done. Nobody was being charged. No cases were moving forward through the system. Everything just kind of, they just hit pause. And you can imagine in some of these larger jurisdictions what kind of a backlog that created. This exact issue happened up in Allen County. And, you know, for whatever reason, their prosecutor's office decided that they were not going to convene a grand jury, which, as I just mentioned, a grand jury has to basically green light a case for a felony case for it to get off and running in the state of Ohio. So they didn't have a grand jury for 6 months or more. When they eventually started convening grand juries again, there was such a backlog of cases. It took years to catch up. And then you can just imagine what kind of problems that creates. Yeah. Because you've got witnesses now that, you know, have gotten spooked and you know, don't want to be cooperative anymore. Just cases are stale. And the judges had such a backlog of cases that they were setting five or six trials to start on a given Monday morning, with the hope that those folks would plead out. But the assistant prosecutors up there in Allen County were having to prep for five separate trials commencing on any given Monday morning because that's what the court had set. They didn't know which ones would go, if any, but it just became an unwieldy, untenable nightmare. Now, in Mercer County, because we are Mercer Countyans, very special place that we call home, our courts did not shut down. We kept on going, and that is a testament to Judge Ingram, who said, we aren't stopping. We're going to keep going. We're going to implement some protective measures, you know, so people feel safe. The way we did grand juries changed a little bit. We created space between each of the grand jurors to make sure that they felt comfortable. And then if there was maybe somebody who had maybe like a senior citizen who had some health risk, they would be excused from coming to grand jury. No, you don't have to come. But we just kept moving forward. And some of our procedures also changed with respect to our defendants. So prior to COVID, if a defendant had a hearing, let's say a pretrial hearing or a sentencing hearing, they would be transported from the Mercer County Jail up to the Mercer County Courthouse, physically transported so they could physically appear. When COVID hit, we decided we needed to implement some new technology. So the way things are to be done back then, and we have continued this because it worked so well, is that all defendants, if they have a hearing in common pleas court, they will appear on a large TV from the jail.
From the Mercer County Jail.
Yes, so the court and the jail worked it out. So basically it's like they're zooming in, okay? And they appear on the screen. They can hear, they can see, we can hear them, we can see them. And only when there's something more serious happening, of course, if there's a trial, if there's some type of motion hearing where there's going to be witnesses testifying, then they will physically transport the defendant up. But otherwise, it's all done virtually, and it has just... it's worked so well because in the past there would have to be so many deputies from the sheriff's office tied up doing transport.
Sure.
You know, you can imagine when you've got a day where you've got 45 pretrials scheduled, all those guys get done doing all day long is transporting defendants. So, it's interesting. Things just kept moving that entire time. We never had a backlog. And Judge Ingram and I and several other people from the court system here in Mercer County participated in like a Q&A with some of the folks from the Ohio Supreme Court, us and a few other courts from around the state to try to... they wanted to pick our brains about how we don't have this backlog. What did you guys do? Because so many other places, of course, the Franklin counties, the Montgomery counties, the Cuyahoga counties, and even places like Allen County, were just struggling.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to know what we did to keep things moving. And I'm real proud of that. I'm thankful that Judge Ingram didn't close up shop because it would have created all kinds of problems for us. But, we took additional precautions. We didn't put anybody's safety at risk, but we also said, we can't just stop. We got to keep going. And we did.
So about how many felony cases come across your desk in any given month?
Well, it varies.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good question. I think a better way to give you an idea of volume is we prosecute roughly 200 felonies a year. Now, those are new cases. That's not counting all of our probation violation cases that we have. If you would add those in, it would be more like probably closer to 400 cases a year. Because, and I'll explain a little bit with that. So, when somebody is sentenced for one or more felonies, there's essentially three things that can happen. One, they can be placed on probation. Technically speaking, it's community control sanctions violations. That's what it's called under Ohio law, but everybody knows it as probation because that's historical terminology and it's just easier to say.
Yep.
So probation basically means that for a number of years, generally speaking, you're placed on probation for 5 years. You're going to have a probation officer who's going to be keeping tabs on you, who's going to make sure you get a job, that you're drug testing if the underlying offense has anything to do with illegal narcotics, that you are getting counseling if you need that, like, for example, substance abuse, keeping tabs on where you live, who you're associating with, if you have law enforcement contact, if you're required to pay restitution, let's say associated with a theft offense. Maybe you went to Walmart and you filled your cart with $1,500 worth of stuff and you walked out. That would be a felony theft that you got to pay Walmart back for what you stole. So that's probation, okay? That's one option. A second option is what we call local time, which means you are sentenced to a certain number of days out at the Mercer County Jail. That's one option, or the second option. And the third option is prison, okay? A lot of people conflate the terms jail and prison. They are two totally different things. Jail means you're taking a trip out to State Route 29 and you're going to be housed by the Mercer County Sheriff's Office. Prison means you're going to be going to any one of a number of locations. Now, I believe there's at least a dozen different men's prisons in the state of Ohio. There are two women's prisons, but basically your first stop is something called CRC, Correction Reception Center, and that's kind of a central location where then DRC will determine which prison you're going to go to. So that'll be your first stop, and then you go from there.
What's the criteria for which prison? Is it just kind of random, or
no? That's a good question. There are certain locations where they send sex offenders.
Okay.
There are certain locations where they send more serious offenders. Okay, you've got a long criminal history, and you were sent to prison on an F1 or an F2. There is a special prison for older prisoners. And so it just kind of depends.
Okay.
It's based on a variety of factors, but there's it's not just a hodgepodge. Well, we've got an opening down at Lebanon Correctional, so we're going to send you down there. That's not how it works. There's kind of a science that goes okay. into it.
Yep.
So those are basically the three things that can happen when you are sentenced for one or more felonies: probation, local time out at the Mercer County Jail, or prison in any number of different prisons throughout the state of Ohio.
Is the local time generally a shorter sentence, or can it also be a longer sentence there?
Generally speaking, yes. I have seen jail sentences that were a year, and prison sentences that were less. Like, for example, for a felony of the fifth degree drug offense, your prison sentence can be anywhere between 6 months and 12 months. So there could be somebody that's sitting out at the Mercer County Jail for a longer period than somebody who's sentenced to prison on an F5. Generally speaking, if you're going to prison, you're going to be sitting in prison longer than what you would out in Mercer County Jail. So,
excellent. Yes, Rocker.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Can a felony...
Ask it into your microphone.
Well, I didn't know.
There you go.
Can or has a felony ever been plea bargained?
Oh, yes. Okay, so that's actually a very good question.
Making future plans there, Rucker?
Yeah.
Did strategy?
Rucker's feeling real good about himself right now.
It's a roast, apparently.
So there may be a misconception that every criminal case goes to trial. That is absolutely not true. Only a small fraction of cases go to trial. Most are resolved through something called a plea bargain. And, you know, you can imagine it's a negotiation which happens. Defense counsel, but usually how this all starts is the state will make an offer. Okay. Maybe someone has been indicted for 5 felony offenses, and we say, well, if your guy pleads to 4, we'll just 4 counts, we'll dismiss 1 count, and maybe we won't argue at the time of sentencing. Okay. And so that would be sort of a common negotiation that would happen. So that kind of begs the question, well, why don't you take every case to trial? You know, why don't you push forward? There's a variety of factors. First of all, there's just no way. The volume is such that we simply could not try every single case. And then there's also something called speedy trial time rights that every defendant is entitled to. So under Ohio law, someone charged with a felony has to be tried within 270 days from the date of their arrest.
But was that also a problem, let's say, up in Allen County and the bigger ones, then did they have to just drop a lot of that?
Well, that's a good question. The Ohio Supreme Court basically issued some rules during that time period, which essentially suspended speedy trial rights because of the national emergency that was COVID.
Yep.
Very good question.
Yeah.
So 270 days from the date they're arrested till the time you got to take a defendant to trial. But every day that they are incarcerated, which means every day they're sitting out at the Mercer County Jail, it counts 3 for 1. So you really only have 90 days. So volume on top of a constricted time frame, not feasible. And then there may be other reasons too. Maybe your key witness has gone, you know, loco. They've jumped ship and you can't find them. Or what often happens in like domestic violence cases, for example, the victim for whatever reason will retract. Okay, the night the incident happened, they talk about how they were hit or whatever, and now they're backtracking and they're saying, no, that's not what happened at all. You know, even though you've got body cam or you've got photographs that show that victim's injuries, they now have decided that they don't want the defendant being punished or convicted or anything like that. So there are a variety of reasons, but only a small fraction go to trial. And most are resolved through some type of negotiation, which ultimately ends in both the defendant, his or her attorney, and the state executing something called a plea agreement. It's basically a contract.
Yep.
And
do you participate personally in all of those negotiations?
I'm involved at some level in every single case. Yes. I make the charging decision for every single felony offender. I decide what charges we're going to bring to the grand jury. Okay, so I'm involved at that level. I'm also involved day-to-day on well over half, probably two-thirds of our cases. I handle every hearing. One-third or a little, maybe a little more than that, I have an assistant from the office who helps out, who handles those cases. But I'm involved from the beginning on every single case. And then we have a very collaborative office. So we're constantly, you know, communicating with one another, bouncing ideas off of one another. You know, have you ever been through this before? What was your experience? And so it is definitely not a one-man show.
Yeah.
We work together, and which is a very good thing for all of us, but ultimately it makes us, as an office, more effective at our jobs.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take one more break, and we're going to come back and touch probably pretty briefly on several of the cases that have been in the newspaper lately. So we'll be back right after this.
What would you do if a fire severely damaged your home? Hi, I'm Ted Romer with Fort Recovery Insurance. The question you really have to ask is, what would your insurance company do? As your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group, I can tell you that we will be there for you from day one. You won't be dealing with an out-of-town agent over the phone, but with us, your neighbor. And that would apply to any damage to your home, big or small. That's our promise. Visit us online at FortRecoveryInsurance.com.
You can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Nothing cleans out your cupboards like hungry kids at home all summer. Stop into Wayne IGA and get everything you need to stock up your kitchen again. Snacks for the kids after school, canned goods to help with those quick meals before heading out to a game, frozen dinners when you're in a hurry. How about some of their fresh or frozen fruit pies or your favorite brand of frozen pizzas? Stop in and stock up at Wayne IGA, your local store with a whole lot more. The Fort Recovery Music Boosters will be hosting their annual All-You-Can-Eat Breakfast on Sunday, September 24th at the Legion from 8:30 to noon. Tickets are available from any high school or junior high band or choir member, or you can get them at the door. The tickets are only $8 each, and kids age 5 and under are free, and carryouts will also be available. You'll get scrambled eggs, sausage, pancakes, fruit, pastries, and a drink. So stop out for breakfast on Sunday morning, September 24th, for the annual Music Boosters All-You-Can-Eat Breakfast from 8:30 to noon at the Legion.
We're back. Rocker, do you have a question?
Well, I asked her if a person's ever been able to take themselves, well, the courts take themselves off the sex registry list.
Yeah, so I told Rocker that's a very good question. He's just full of wisdom tonight. So
they don't give this job to chimps.
He's full of something. Wisdom. We'll go with wisdom.
There you go.
So, you know, I would say most of your listeners are familiar with the term sex offender. So in the state of Ohio, there are a number of offenses where if you are convicted of that offense, let's say rape, sexual battery, gross sexual imposition, you have to register as a sex offender. Now, not all sex offenders are treated the same. So for more serious offenses like rape, you're going to be considered a tier 3 sex offender. You have to register every 90 days with your local sheriff for life. So what does that mean, register with a sheriff? You've got to register your address, any email addresses you're using, your phone numbers, your places of employment, the cars that you're driving, all of these things, and you have to do that every 90 days. Now, for other sex offenses, You are considered a tier two, and you have to register every 25. You have to register for 25 years, and you have to register every 180 days. And then a tier one is you have to register annually for a period of 15 years. So, for example, if you're a tier one and you've done everything you're supposed to do for a period of 15 years, you've registered every year, you will be taken off the sex offender registry. Now, the...
Got four more years, Rocker.
You do or he does. I think probably you.
The sex offender registry laws are pretty draconian in the state of Ohio. So, and our sheriff's office, credit to them, they take this very seriously. So if you are supposed to register, let's say you're a tier one and you're supposed to register every year, and you fail to register, or you move from one address to another, even within the same county, and you don't report that change, the sheriff's office will let us know, and then the failure to comply with the sex offender registration laws is a felony offense, generally speaking. Okay, so it's like a whole new offense, and it can carry those offenses can carry with them some very significant penalties. So if folks that find themselves on those lists really have to follow the law.
Yep.
And follow every requirement that they're supposed to do, because if they don't, they're going to likely see themselves facing another felony offense. Yep.
So let's talk about a couple of the cases that have recently kind of made the headlines to a certain extent. And I don't know to what extent you can talk about these, but I'll put you in a tough spot. So let's start with the daycare. I think I saw where a couple of people from the Dayton area got indicted on those. So can you share a little bit about that?
I can share a little bit about it. So there have been a lot of articles in the Daily Standard about the Victorum Daycare, which is in Salina. It was formerly known as Kids Castle. It's my understanding that a few years ago it was bought out by this company that has some other locations. I believe there are two locations down in the Dayton area. And so the sheriff's office investigated a number of complaints associated with Victorum Daycare. And a few weeks ago, well, in August, actually, we presented cases to a Mercer County grand jury. And there were two indictments that were handed down from that grand jury, and just containing misdemeanor offenses. So Judge Fox decided that he was going to transfer those cases to Salina Municipal Court. And so Judge Spielman will preside over those two cases. And because they are pending prosecutions, that's pretty much all I can say about it.
Okay. And then there was recently an officer-involved shooting in Salina that...
Yeah.
Made the front page, no
right.
doubt.
This week, in fact, right? Because there was a... made the front page this week. There was a press conference that the chief of police from the Salina Police Department, Tom Well, I think he held last week, maybe near the end of last week. And they also released body cam footage. So the officer-involved shooting happened a couple of weeks back, and there was a male that was shot and killed in connection with that incident. Immediately, the Salina Police Department called in the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation, which we commonly refer to as BCI, and that's absolutely the right thing to do, because, you know, when you have one of your own officers involved in a shooting, you can't send your other officers out there to investigate it. It just creates the appearance of impropriety. So you call in BCI, and those guys came in and took over the entirety of the investigation. And it's my understanding that they anticipate their investigation being completed within 4 to 6 weeks. That means everything. You know, they've done all of their, conducted all of their lab tests. They've talked to all of the witnesses. They've photographed everything at the scene. You know, they've done everything.
Does that also take things off of your plate? I mean, does it take it out of your hands?
Yes, but given the nature of what happened. So we have Salina police officers involved in a shooting. We work closely with Salina police officers every day, okay? And so I didn't feel that it was right for me to review BCI's report to make a determination about what steps, if any, should be taken going forward. It's not that I question my ability to set aside those relationships with the officers, but it just doesn't look good, right? I mean, no matter what I would potentially decide to do, people would question it based on the fact that I have working relationships with all of these officers.
Yeah, whether good or bad.
Right. So I made a decision right away that we were going to enlist the help of what's called a special prosecutor just to avoid the appearance of impropriety. And so I contacted Eva Yarger, who is our painter, if you remember from earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier in this show. She is the Van Wert County prosecutor. Her and I have known one another for some time. We've worked together on cases before. I asked her if she would be willing to review the report, and despite her very busy schedule and extensive responsibilities, she agreed to do so. So when BCI completes their investigation, they will submit their report to Prosecutor Yarger, and she will review it and will decide what, if anything, happens thereafter.
That's probably a really good thing for several reasons. Let's just assume that everybody knows that your character is beyond reproach and you would make the right decision. Now you've set a precedent. When you retire, then they have to give that to the next person who may not be, as trusted as much. So it's just best to set that precedent. This is how this gets taken care of.
Absolutely.
Then there isn't a question.
There's no taint.
Yeah.
You know, and given the gravity of the situation, you don't want to create a taint when you don't have to. I mean, it's like, why create a penalty when it just can be avoided? There's just no sense in it. So I immediately after I found out about what happened, I knew we weren't going to review it. We were going to get somebody else to take a look at it.
Yep. And then probably the third one that comes to light is the case of a Salina school bus driver that I'm assuming inadvertently had left a special needs child on the bus for an extended period. I don't know the details of it, but
there was stuff on WCSM about it and an article in the Daily Standard about it. So basically, there was a special needs child that was left on a school bus in the city of Salina, and so obviously the. She was fine. She ended up being fine, but she was left on a school bus for several hours inadvertently until basically they realized that she was left on that bus, and then she was found unharmed, but a little shaken.
So, and I don't know. Okay, so the bus driver made his route. When he had his various stops, she apparently didn't get off where she was supposed to get off. He went back to the bus barn, mm-hmm. parked his bus, mm-hmm. and they received word that, hey, my daughter is missing. Mm-hmm. And
a different bus was used to drop this child, got home via a different bus. It was not the same bus that picked this child up in the morning. And when this child was supposed to get off the bus, where's the child at? And that's when, folks put two and two together and went back to the bus that picked this child up, which was a different bus number, different bus driver, and there the child was.
So was the child on the bus, in the bus for, the whole school day?
I think it was a period of about 4 hours.
Probably one of those half-day things.
So, obviously law enforcement got involved and they did an investigation. They submitted a report to us. Let me just preface this by saying a terrible set of circumstances, okay? Nobody would want that to happen to their child. Awful. And you want to do what you can going forward to prevent that from happening. But we reviewed the report. We declined to pursue any charges against the bus driver or the aide involved, because based on the facts, there was no crime.
Yeah.
Okay. And there was a, I'm not on social media, but apparently there was uproar on social media, and, you know, they don't know what they're doing. They're a bunch of idiots. Well, here's the thing. We can't just create a crime out of whole cloth. Okay. And these facts did not fit any crime under Ohio law. And I refuse.
Negligence?
Well, in this situation, the only potential box that these facts fit into was a crime that required a mental state of recklessness, not negligence, recklessness, which is a higher standard than negligence.
Yep.
And so, you know, some people would say, well, just go ahead and charge with that crime. Well, I'm not going to do that, knowing that the facts will not support a conviction for that crime.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's like,
if you know you're not going to, you don't have a chance at a conviction, you do not waste the time and money and resources.
Absolutely. Well, and it's not the right thing to do.
Right.
It's simply not the right thing to do. And
and you can't put yourself at the whim of social media.
Absolutely.
That makes it impossible.
Absolutely. You know, which changes based on the direction the wind is blowing.
Well, I tell you what, Aaron, it has been a quick hour. Let's do a quick recap, because I think the main thing that we wanted to meet and share was about the events on Sunday.
Yeah, so very quick recap. Coming up this week, on Friday, we have lunch on the lawn at the courthouse from 11 to 1.
All for the 100th anniversary of the dedication of our courthouse.
From 11 to 1, you can purchase food and beverages from food trucks that will be parked on the north side of the courthouse. We'll also have free cookies. We'll have a DJ playing during that time period. And then you can come out and see us on Sunday from 1 to 4 at the courthouse. We've got all kinds of family-friendly activities. Everything is free to the public. Lots of stuff that the kiddos will enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fantastic.
Yep.
All right. I appreciate your time,
guys. And that is this coming Sunday.
That's correct.
Yep.
Yes. Thanks for having me on.
We appreciate it.
Always a quick hour.
Well, yes, it is.
It is quick, isn't it?
Yeah, and we're going to talk to Rocker here in a minute or two.
A little more painful, though.
And you are very welcome to hang around and help us harass Rocker.
I'll bet Aaron's got things to do. Just a hunch. I did hear where she's already receiving votes for coach of the year in her soccer league.
Yep, from Marshall and Mary.
Yeah. I tell you, coaching, I'm an assistant coach for my son and my daughter's kindergarten and first grade soccer team. We are Team Orange. Woo-hoo. And I tell you, it is one of the most enjoyable things that I've ever done, because that age, they are just all about having fun.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just pure joy when something goes the right way for them. And, you know, nobody gets too excited about what the score is. We're just out there to learn and have a good time. Yep. And,
You know, and you can see, you know, like, they go out and they do a cartwheel. You heading out to the place that
our last game, which we had last night, we had a couple of kids were just laying on the grass. Yeah. Just they needed to rest, so they just laid down. And that's just what makes it that much more fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Really childhood innocence. Man, that's beautiful.
Yes.
Well, Mercer County Prosecutor Aaron Miner, we appreciate you coming up and, you know, sharing all this stuff with us. We certainly learn a lot whenever you pop in. So,
well, I enjoy it, and hopefully you'll ask me back again sometime.
Yeah, sometime, yeah.
We'll track probably me down at church. How can I say no when you ask me in church?
In front of Marshall and Mary. No. I don't think I'll do that. Mom.
So, I guess that's your golden ticket. You know when to ask me now.
Hopefully, the next time we talk, you won't be the chairman of the 100-year...
I'm going to be glad to go back to one job. Let's put it that way. For sure.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break, come back with our Rocker segment before we pass it on off to the Sports Talk boys here.
Yeah, they're going to have Coach Brent Niekamp on tonight.
Yes.
Yep.
So stay tuned for Rocker right after this.
Yep.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Promotion from within the company is huge, and it's very much supported by the owners.
At Cooper Farms, we value hard work and dedication toward bettering yourself, and we reward that. We know that our team members are the key to our success.
We offer them classes. We help them try to get to that next level. We want them to learn. The people are our asset.
Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. As a coach myself, certain small things completed the right way are the ripple in the pond that many times leads to a tidal wave of success in your operation. Trust me, there's a big difference between a pass or a toss at your feet as opposed to one that hits you right in the numbers. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
Here are the sports broadcasts coming up this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Just one volleyball match and one football game this week for our Indians teams, and both are at Delphus St. John's. Our volleyball team will head up to Delphus tomorrow evening to take on the Lady Blue Jays. It'll be a Fort Recovery Radio broadcast starting around 6:30. Then our football team will play the Blue Jays in a rare Saturday afternoon game. Our Wayne IGA pregame show will start at 1:10. Just two games this week, so get out and support our Indians teams. But if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Insight. Rocker, did you learn much there, bud?
Quite a bit, actually. I'm actually equipped to ask good questions.
You know what? You did really well. I don't know whether you did homework or what, but it was awesome.
I'm like the Mike Wallace of Fort Recovery.
Well, except you're not doing gotcha questions. He's trying to put them spot and make them say something they don't want to say. That's not what you do.
That's the closest I'll ever get to doing a gotcha question.
Yep.
Yeah. Without going over.
Well, if you do, you won't be. You're done. No more gotcha. Nobody does gotcha questions on Fort Recovery Radio. Now we might do a gotcha question off the air.
Yes.
But we do not put somebody on the spot. That is not what we do.
I'm about ready to get gotcha.
Okay.
All right.
Yep. Yes, you are.
On this day in 1959, of course, Tuesday, of course.
1959.
Yes.
Okay.
September 12th. Bonanza was the first show to air in color on CBS, or NBC, I should say.
Name?
Bonanza.
The four stars of that. The four male stars.
Lorne Green.
Lorne Green.
Michael Landon, of course.
Michael Landon.
Dan Blocker. And Parnell Roberts.
Hey, excellent. Very good, fella.
Who went on to become Trapper John somehow.
Yep.
Which made no sense.
But he did it.
Yeah. 1970. Oh, this will touch you.
Okay.
Don't touch me.
Well, that's for Jack Ashlyn.
Oh. Go ahead and touch Jack.
Josie and the Pussycats airs for the first time. Not one of the top tier cartoons of all time. But
well, thanks for bringing it up then.
I'm trying to liven this place up a little bit.
I mean, it was. Back in the day, I thought Josie was hot too.
Puffed up in all the right places, as Bill would say about
Thanks,
Jetsons.
Thank you, Bill.
Josie and the Pussycats, 1970, you say, right?
Yes.
I was 20. Believe it or not, I did not watch that.
Or give a kid crap.
Yes.
Okay, today in 1969,
the day more, after.
More cartoons.
No, 69. It'd be 10 years later.
Oh, yes. 69. Okay.
Say with me.
Sorry.
Scooby-Doo airs on CBS. Rot-row.
Yep, so I didn't watch that either.
Who did the voice of Shaggy?
I don't know.
Very well known radio guy.
Oh, I know who it is.
Mel Blanc.
Close.
No, I know who it is.
Who?
Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Yes, Casey Kasem.
Casey Kasem.
Oh,
the top 40.
I figured it was Snoop Doggy Dogg because they both speak and you can't understand what they're saying, so I figured that was what it was.
Key. 1986. Oh, this is a little more timely and sad at the same time. 1986. Pee Wee Herman's first Playhouse was aired.
I watched that.
5 years later, he found himself in a theater and things went to the end.
Oh, I'd say it was a lot more than five years later.
91. I'm trying to do my Ford Curry math, as Aaron would say.
So you're saying it was 1991 when he got arrested?
Yes.
Really?
So 4 years he's on the air.
That's 30 years ago?
Yeah.
I don't think so. You might be right, but...
Yeah. He's been dead since when?
Just died this year.
A couple of months ago.
Yeah. Was it? Okay.
Oh, it's Aerie birthday time.
Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, we don't need that yet. Yesterday we had Susan Ramel.
Happy birthday, Susan
Ramel. Wow.
And Joe Kane.
This is 1991. I'd have never believed that.
Today we have Lindsay Lamb.
Happy birthday, Lindsay.
And tomorrow, Kelsey Boring.
Kelsey Boring.
And that brings us to...
Citizen of the Day.
Yeah, you got her.
I can't wait.
Are we ready?
This better be a good
one. Is there a bets place on this one yet?
All right.
No bets?
It'll be hard to top Rita Plyman. Yeah,
good. This is close.
Close? All right.
So it's going to be me this time?
No. Unless you've grown, well, two sets of legs and...
it's going to be a dog?
You said
two sets of legs?
You had a breast boost. I'd say you're
so it's
out.
A cow, a breast boost, and two sets of legs?
This is the day, Pat Summer.
Pat Summer.
She's one of my all-time favorites.
Good choice.
She used to work for me at Spencer's Drive-In.
She's a top knot. And not to mention her years at the high school.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was awesome.
Joanne Ranley worked for you too, didn't she?
Yes, between Joanne Ranley and Pat Summers and me during the day.
Yeah.
That was, I don't know how you get a better life than that.
That was
a lot of fun. They were crazy. They were half nuts and it was a lot of fun. Those were some really good people.
And they could put up with you.
Yes, well, yeah.
And put you in your place.
Yes, they could.
Yeah.
Especially Joanne. Pat,
especially
Pat,
Joanne.
Pat can too, but Joanne would just, are you kidding me? she's awesome. That was a lot of fun back in those days. Pat Summer is one of my favorite people.
Celebrity birthday time.
Yep.
Celebrity birthday.
Yesterday we had Lindsey Gray. Linda Gray, sorry about that.
Oh,
well then. Yeah, I still don't know who it is.
Dallas.
Oh.
JR's wife.
I never watched that one either.
Shocking.
Yeah.
83.
1983?
Her age is 83.
Oh.
Once again, stay with me here.
I'm trying.
Rachel Ward from Thornbirds is 66. Thank you.
I watched part of that. That was a miniseries, right?
Very good, Neil.
I think I watched part of that.
Hans Zimmer, 66. Movie score guy.
Oh.
Louis C.K., 66 as well. 56.
Who?
Louis C.K., he's a comedian.
Yep.
Kind of got himself canceled.
Yeah, I was going to say he got in some kind of trouble.
Jennifer Nettles is 49.
She was a little big town? No.
Sugar Land, I think.
I knew it was one of them.
And Jennifer Hudson is 42.
Oh.
American Idol.
Yes.
Hans Zimmer did Lion King.
Who
42.
That?
42.
Of
course. Yeah, I mean, it was probably 15 years when she was on American Idol.
Today we got
Rain Man, Pirates of the Caribbean, Pearl Harbor, Lion King, that's Hans Zimmer. I'll be darned.
Let's see, Kyle.
Kyle.
See, Kyle.
I don't see Kyle.
Where is Kyle?
I
didn't say Kyle. I said Heil.
Oh.
Heil.
Gesundheit.
Oh, boy. Jean Smart from Designing Women turned 72.
Wow.
Is she still with us?
Yes. Okay. That's why I had her as a birthday.
Well, yeah, but
I don't do dead birthdays.
You don't do dead birthdays.
Well, you know them all.
Oh, you'll love this one. Tyler Perry turns 54.
I like Tyler Perry.
I'm a fan.
He's always spoken highly of you.
Yeah.
And singer Fiona Apple is 46.
Who?
Singer Fiona Apple is 46.
I don't know her either.
Yeah, so see if I can find a Philomony Apple.
Fiona Apple?
She only had one hit, so that should be tough.
Well, thanks for bringing her up then.
Jack, did you have any things?
I'm only going to give you one question.
Okay.
Okay. If you could have any superpower, what superpower would you like to have? And why?
Well, I like the invisibility thing.
What?
Invisibility.
So they can't see you when you're peeping in their windows?
Yes.
Why?
I want to fly.
Not for that reason, though.
Boom. So what reason?
He asked me a question. I gave him an answer. It's not like it's...
Well, why? I think I'd want to fly.
Well, I know. Does this fat butt look like he's going to get off the ground?
You know what?
The spruce goose did.
We've got to sign off because sports talk is...
Well, I've been trying to do that.
I know, bud. So, for Rocker, Neil, Jack, and the entire Insight crew, yes. Stay tuned for sports talk. Bubba and Fee with Coach Niekamp right after this.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those